Morning, everyone. So we should have a little bit of joy of the Holy Spirit to begin with. There was a Catholic priest, there was a Baptist minister, and there was a rabbi, and they each kind of decided we should see who's best at our craft. So they decided, let's go into the woods and we'll find a grizzly bear, try and convert it. Okay, deal made. So the Catholic priests, they decide they'd get together in a week and compare notes to how they went. So they went out, they come back and they're debriefing, and the Catholic priest says, well, I did pretty good. I read to the bear from the catechism, I sprinkled him with holy water, and next week I'm going back and he's going to take his first communion. Okay, good job. The Baptist minister says, well, I read to him just from the scriptures. He was so mesmerized by the word of God that he entered into salvation. And he let me baptize him. Good job. And they turn and they look at the rabbi, and the rabbi's on a gurney in a full body cast. I said, oh, wow, didn't work out so well for you. He said, well, maybe I shouldn't have started with circumcision. On that note, I'm not going to explain anything more. You just can Google. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for the inheritance we have in the person of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are living within us. We ask that you would manifest that presence now to your word. The word says, the word of the Father says that we have the mind of Christ. And it's you, Holy Spirit, that helps us know the deep things of God. So just now, in this next few moments, will you help us to learn more, understand more, and see more of the deep things of God? Just come and just not just rest on us, but awaken us to the presence that you are within us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I remind you, just some good thoughts from this book, Paul, the Spirit and the People of God by Gordon McPhee. We often talk about God's grace as being his empowering presence. It was Gordon McPhee who wrote a big, thick book called The Empowering Presence of God that explains that. And this is the nutshell version of that, which also has a lot to say about the Holy Spirit. So it's a classic book. I just recommend it to you if you want to do more reading and thinking about the Holy Spirit and particularly what Paul says about the Holy Spirit. It's well worth getting that and having a look at that. I just want to take us back quickly because I just want to, like, building on something here. Lots of times when people talk about the Holy Spirit, they just cut to the chase about the gifts of the Spirit or being filled with the Spirit or the Holy Spirit fire. And I think it's really, really important that we actually build a theology of the Holy Spirit, because you have to have a theology of the Holy Spirit to be able to build, then work into the gifts and the fire and revival and all those things of the Holy Spirit. There has to be a sense of what we actually believe about the Holy Spirit. I talked last week about lots of people, you know, they're great with God the Father, they're great with Jesus the Son, but sometimes the Holy Spirit is a bit of a blur and they're not sure about where they sit with the Holy Spirit, because it's just kind of, oh, I'm not sure who is the Holy Spirit and what does he do and all that. And I would suggest that the church particularly, for a large part, hasn't grasped the presence of the Holy Spirit, because if we fully grasp the presence of the Holy Spirit living within us, I would think we'd be a completely different people. Just saying. And I'll say more about that a little bit later. So let's just quickly reflect last week. Talk about the Holy Spirit as a person. Going right back to creation, Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right there at the beginning of creation, saying, let's make humans in our image. Not in the Father and the Son's image and in its image, but in our image. It's actually a relationship. It's about the Trinity. The whole Trinity goes through the whole scripture, and it's about the Holy Spirit being a person and a part of that. The Holy Spirit we talked about has always been a promise from God to the people of Israel and to the God's people, which were initially the people of Israel and then expanded to Jews and Gentiles, which now we are, as believers, the people of Israel. And in Ephesians, Paul writes in Ephesians 1:13-14, "Now you Gentiles who have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you, and when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him." The Holy Spirit lives in us, is our guarantee and our inheritance. Then God promised that he would do a new thing a long time ago. Right back in Deuteronomy 36, he promised to do a new thing in the heart. In Jeremiah 31, he said he'd do a new thing in the heart. And then Ezekiel took that a step further. The prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 36 said, "And I will give you a new heart and I will put my spirit in you. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations." Ezekiel's prophesying not just to the people of the day, but he's prophesying to us, whom the Holy Spirit was promised to a long time ago. You've got to match these, and we looked at more last week. If you missed that, then catch it on our website or on Facebook. But the sense that Paul picks it up in Corinthians, saying that this Holy Spirit is now in us, it's in our hearts, the Spirit is in us. And that verse there is saying that to follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations, now the Spirit lives within us, showing us the things of God and prompting us about how to live in step with the Spirit, in step with what God is calling us to do, because we're not under the law anymore, but we have the Spirit, we're under the Spirit, if that makes sense. Are you still with me? Good. Then we have the importance of the presence of God, the idea that God's presence was on a mountain. God came down and his presence was in the tabernacle and then his presence was in the temple. In Exodus chapters 20 to 40, there was that sense of that progression happening. And then Exodus 40 was where the presence of God came and settled. It was Exodus 40. "Then the cloud covered the tabernacle and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Here comes this sense of the indwelling presence, the indwelling Holy Spirit within us. So then Paul picks that up in Ephesians 2. He says, "We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling, whom God lives in his Spirit." And then in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God?" The Holy Spirit, the presence of God, now resides within us. And the verse that Rosa quoted a minute ago, "Then the veil has been torn." Remember, the veil in the temple was what separated the presence of God from the priest, who would go in on behalf of the people to meet with God face to face. And then when Jesus died on the cross, remember that the veil was torn in two, symbolizing that no longer is there needed a veil between us and the presence of God. Now we can go in and have intimacy with God. Into me see. The veil is nothing hiding the presence of God anymore. We have direct access into that. So whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. It's gone. There's nothing there. "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Now, that verse is often taken out of context to say it's just freedom. We jump and do whatever we want, and that's exactly true. But it's more than just that kind of freedom. It's freedom now to enter into the presence of God fully and completely with no hindrances, with no jumping through hoops. We're fully in the presence of God, and his presence lives within us. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of God. All of us who have had that veil removed, that's any believer who's entered into Jesus through the blood and death and resurrection of Jesus, now has that veil removed, and we can enter fully into the presence of God so that we can see and reflect. See and reflect, twofold. We see, now we have freedom to reflect the presence of God fully and bring glory to God through that. "And the Lord, who is the Spirit, then makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image." You go have a look in the mirror and you see your hair is messy. Most people then decide, okay, I need to straighten my hair. There's something that we see as a reflection, and that causes a transformation. Like, we do something about that. So we see the Father, we see the glorious image of God, and we reflect that back and go, "Oh, Jesus, will you make me more like you in this area as I see and reflect, and then others see that. Oh, your hair looks wonderful this morning. Yeah. Do you get what I'm getting at? We don't just see, we see so we can reflect the glory of God that others then see that. That's evangelism 101. Us just becoming more like Jesus and others see that, they ought to be seeing the glory. Gosh, you look different. I haven't seen you for a while. There's something about you. There's a glow about you. There's a transformation that's taking place in your life. There's something that's actually outworking in you. What is that? Moving on, today what I wanted, that was part one, living under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That was last week. Today I want to talk about the advocacy and the agency of the Holy Spirit. Still building a little bit on our theology, but the advocacy and the agency of the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit is often talked about in Scripture as our advocate. Now, depending on which translation you use, some will talk about the Holy Spirit as our counselor, or some will talk about the Holy Spirit as our helper. But the idea of there being an advocate is, or counselor or helper, all the same thing, just different nuances kind of about that. But the kind of advocacy term is a legal term, but it's much more than just a broader sense about a counsel for defense. It's actually referred to any person who helps someone in trouble with the law. And in the sense that Paul uses it, the Apostle Paul wants us to know that Jesus or the Holy Spirit will always stand beside Jesus' children. He will always be our advocate. He will always be our helper. He will always be our counselor. And so when Jesus says, I'll never leave you or abandon you, he's saying that because even though he's at the right hand by the Father, he's left us the presence of the Holy Spirit. So his presence is still with us and still helping us, still counseling us, still advocating for us. So John says in John 14, I will ask the Father, this is Jesus speaking, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. So Jesus is saying, right now, before I've died and I've crucified and resurrected and gone back to heaven, I'm your advocate. I'm the man. I'm the one that's come on behalf of the Father to save the world. Okay? He's saying, but I'm going to ask the Father and I'm going to ask him to give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit. Look at the language there. He. So talking about a person. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Later will be in you. When's later? After Jesus died, resurrected and ascended. He gives us the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit comes. Okay? Notice that. Like the world can't see him. Those things that happen, like, you know, did you notice that? Did you notice these things or I sense that? And you're talking to another Christian. Yeah, I noticed that. I saw that. But someone else goes, you guys are nuts. Because they can't see that. They don't understand things on a supernatural or a spiritual level because they don't have the Holy Spirit in them. But you can look at the sky or you can look at something and go, I think God's trying to show me something here. Or I think God's going to point something out because the Spirit is at work in that and we can see the Spirit. But those that don't can't. Because they don't yet have that perception. New battery, that's what I need. Need some charging. John. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative. Alrighty. Too easy. I'd take it off, but I've got 1,000 things to take off. Hearing aids, glasses. John 14:26 also says, when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, so there you go again, there's the my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I just find that an astounding verse. I sometimes have moments where I can't remember people's names. I don't know if you have those moments or not. But I refuse to settle for the, it is kind of a sense of senior moment, but I refuse to settle for the, my mind is getting worse. And I refuse to blame it on old age because I don't believe that's the case. Everyone has moments where they forget things. And I don't want to settle for that. And I don't want to just fall into the trap of, oh, it's just because I'm older, I forget. Why? Some people who are 90, 100 have awesome memories. I talk to my mum who has early signs of dementia. If I talk to her about things that happened in her younger life, because she has short-term kind of memory loss, she can remember the things crystal clear with such detail. There's nothing wrong with her. There's nothing wrong with her memory in that sense, but there is in the sense of her short-term memory. So anyway, I get in the habit of saying, Holy Spirit, just can you just tell me that person's name? Because I don't want to Google it and I don't want to look it up. I want to do it naturally. Seriously, I have this conversation with the Holy Spirit. And sure enough, it doesn't take that long, about 5, 10 minutes, sometimes 15 minutes, the name just pops into my head. And I thank you, Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit is, I know that's a kind of a natural thing, but the Holy Spirit is right there. Like in this verse, it's the Holy Spirit is an advocate, my representative. He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. Father, what was that that you said again? What was that verse? What was that? I need that right now. What's that promise that you have for me, Father? Well, I'm just having a memory loss right now. Can you help me? Can you remind me, Holy Spirit? Or there's those times where you're just walking and you're in the shower or wherever and a verse pops into your head. That's the Holy Spirit reminding you of the things of the Father. That's the presence of the Holy Spirit. Like we have it on tap. It's living within us. And about you, it's like a walking kind of concordance within us. The Holy Spirit right there. That's our go-to. That's our kind of first resource, the Holy Spirit. It's not so much that we are lacking. It's just so much that we're not in the normal process of accessing the Holy Spirit who lives within us. We have to regrow those motor neuron pathways or whatever to understand the access. We have the Holy Spirit and we have to learn to access the Holy Spirit. We're maybe not Holy Spirit fit, if I can put it that way. Still clunky, still a bit sore. And then John goes on further in John 15:26, but I'll send you the advocate, the Spirit of truth, and he will come to you from the Father and testify about me. So the Holy Spirit comes. And he's sent from the Father, and the Holy Spirit then testifies to us about Jesus. He gives us the testimony of Jesus. He tells us about Jesus. He reminds us of Jesus. He gives us the image of Jesus. Because remember, we're being made into the glorious image of the Father and of the Son. Gordon Fee, in his book, he says this. He says, the role of the Spirit is on earth, because it's in us, okay? Indwelling believers in order to help them in their weak, in the weakness of their already slash not yet existence and thereby to intercede on their behalf. The risen Christ is located in heaven at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Accordingly, when Paul in Galatians 2:20 speaks of Christ as living in him, he's almost certainly means Christ lives in me by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Referring to the ongoing work of Christ in his life that's been carried out by the indwelling Spirit. Okay. Kind of helpful for us to kind of understand it's kind of all the kind of same thing, but it's also helpful for us to be able to articulate the nuances that happen. So when we talk about Jesus living within us, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, who's the presence of Jesus and the Father living within us, because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Does that make sense? And if you catch that, then you actually understand who's living within you, and then you actually understand the power that is living within you, and then you understand the access you have to that power that's living within you. That ought to get you excited when you get out of bed in the morning, and you don't so much feel like getting out of bed in the morning or feel like facing the day that you have coming up, that as you roll out of bed, you ought to be able to remind yourself, hang on a minute. I actually have the indwelling presence of the Father living within me in the person of the Holy Spirit. I'm good to go today. there's nothing I can't face because in my weakness I'm made strong, and because the Holy Spirit is going to interpret the things of the Father for me. He's going to give me the mind of Christ. He's going to show me the deep things of God today. He's actually going to source me with strength. He's actually going to fill me up with his gifts. He's going to do amazing stuff today. Wow, I'm starting to get excited about today. Now let's talk about the agency of the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by that? The Holy Spirit's often spoken of in terms of, when you read different stuff about in terms of agency. In other words, the Holy Spirit is an agent of God's activity within us. He's God's representative. He's God's agent on earth in us, if that makes sense. That's what I mean by agency. Now, it's not the Holy Spirit, I want to keep reiterating this, is not an it and is not some impersonal kind of form or some kind of fire or just, you know, this kind of just this mystical, magical thing that's just kind of just there in the wind and flows in and out. The Holy Spirit is a person. And the agency or the activities of God cannot take place within us or through us or on earth without the person of the Holy Spirit at work within us. So we have to be careful that we don't just talk about activities and think about those activities as activities and just something that happens without thinking about those activities happen because of a person working within us. Kids or teenagers, there are lots of things that happen in your home and they don't just happen mysteriously. They actually happen in the home because of probably a mother who does an awful lot around the home and makes things happen. So when you get up or when you sit at the table to have a meal or when you put on your clothes to go to school, someone's done something. It hasn't just mysteriously happened, or someone's picked up something and moved something. It hasn't just automatically just gone out of the way. It's a person. And it's like a person of the Holy Spirit that does things as well. Yeah. So let's have a look at a few examples of the agency of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's involved in conversion. If you look at the example of the Thessalonians, in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 to 14, a salvation that came through the Spirit makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. He called you to salvation when he told you the good news, and now you can share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their salvation came through the Holy Spirit. Believers are saved through the washing of the Spirit, whom God poured out upon them in Titus 3:5. But when our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Thessalonians' joy also came from the Spirit. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of severe suffering it brought to you. Revelation comes through the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2. But it was to us that God revealed those things in his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. It's the Holy Spirit that shows us God's deep secrets. Paul's preaching is accompanied by the power of the Holy Spirit. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power from the Holy Spirit. Prophecy and speaking in tongues are by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14. But you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you'll be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But it's the power of the Spirit. And the Spirit affirms that we're children of God. Romans 8, for we all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Notice that all who are led, remember the people in Israel, they were led by the Spirit, by like a cloud and of also the fire. That sense, Paul's picking that up now. He's saying, but now we are led by the Spirit. We are the children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit. And when he adopted you as his own children, now we call him Abba Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. That's the symbolism of our inheritance. That's the confirming of our inheritance, that we are God's children in that. We'll also be strengthened by means of God's Spirit. Ephesians 3:16, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Or the believers worship in spirit. Philippians 3, for we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Jesus Christ has done for us. We love by the Spirit. Colossians, he's told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. We're sealed by the Spirit. Ephesians 1, and when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit whom he promised long ago. And we walk by the Spirit and live by the Spirit. Galatians 5, so I say, let the Spirit guide your lives. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. I hope you're catching the gist of it. There's nothing really that happens in life that's not led by the Holy Spirit. Here's just a few more to kind of finish with, because the Spirit is the personal agent, remember, of God's activity in us. The Spirit searches all things. The Spirit knows the mind of Christ. The Spirit teaches the content of the gospel to believers. I just want to highlight that one a little bit, that in 1 Corinthians 2, when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. How much time do we spend trying to articulate the gospel, or how much time do we spend worried about what we're going to say when we articulate the gospel? That we actually never get to sharing the gospel. Just a thought. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Holy Spirit. In other words, just get in the game and ask the Holy Spirit for the words to speak and you'll be okay. It's not to say that we don't spend time preparing or thinking or doing that, but it shouldn't be a stumbling block to actually just going forward and relying on that. Remember those, just getting in the habit of saying, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say right here? Using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, but they can't understand it. For those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. That's because it's a spirit dual language. So we have to pray that the blindness, the veil that's over their eyes, gets removed, so then they can see the Spirit or have access to the Spirit. Just a few more. The Holy Spirit dwells among or within believers. The Holy Spirit gives life to those who believe. The Holy Spirit cries out from within our hearts. The Holy Spirit leads us in the ways of God. The Holy Spirit affirms we are God's children. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. The Holy Spirit strengthens believers. Holy Spirit's a person. He's our inheritance. He lives within us. He's active within us. He's the agent of God's activity within us. He's not only that, but he is our advocate, our help, our counselor. I'm hoping you're just kind of catching the sense about, like, you know, coming back to who is it that lives within us as the presence of God? It is the Holy Spirit. If we could just catch more of the essence of that and understand we have God's presence within us and full access to that presence, there's no drama, there's no issue, there's no COVID, there's no disease, there's no sickness, there's no catastrophic event, there's no, you know, what are the other words they've used, in unprecedented event. There's nothing that the Holy Spirit can't encounter with us, present with us. So if we faced everything and said, Holy Spirit, what should we do right now? Interesting, I didn't see the whole race, but I caught the gist of it with Leon Adams, the Australian marathon runner, who came fourth by 7 seconds and was leading the pack in the early stages of the marathon race, and was a good effort, was putting it in. I was reading something this morning and he was saying that, like, he was just running blind, he said. He said, I don't know why it happened this way, but it did. He says, I was trying to sync the map to my phone, and I don't know the kind of program he had or whatever, but he said, and it just wouldn't work. So I didn't know when the hills were coming up. I didn't know how many hills there were. I didn't know how many hills were left. I didn't have the information I needed to know when to surge, when to hold back, when to go here, when to do this, when to do that. And he said, I just didn't have anything left at the end in my legs, like to just do that. I said, I was just guessing the whole time, he said. And as soon as I read that, I thought, wow, that's how it is for a lot of Christians, sadly. They're just guessing the whole time because they haven't realized the access they have that's already been downloaded into them, and that's the Holy Spirit. It's like, Holy Spirit, I'm really struggling with a work relationship right now. Can you help me sort it? What's needed here, Holy Spirit? Because I know, Holy Spirit, you search the deep things of God. You see. You have the mind of Christ. That's got to be. You show me truth. You remind me of Jesus. You show me what Jesus would do in this situation. And I'm just sort of lost, and I just need to know, Holy Spirit, like, I don't want to go forward unless the presence of God goes with me into this situation. And I need you, Holy Spirit, to impart that to me now. Holy Spirit, I just can't decide. I'm trying to make a business decision here of investment, and I just don't know what's going to happen in the market, or what should I do, or where should I go. Or Holy Spirit, I really need you, your help, just to hear that. Holy Spirit, I just would love for this person to come to know you, to come to know Jesus and to be saved. But I just don't know how to find a way in. And I don't want to blow it. Holy Spirit, will you create an opportunity for the veil to come down, and for an opportunity that I'll know that it's time to be able to raise it, or I know that it's time to be able to speak, or to glorify you by just being present in that situation. Not only the Holy Spirit is the agent of God's activity in our lives, he's our counselor, our helper, our advocate, and testimony that God's presence actually lives within us. He goes with us wherever we go and whatever we're doing. What we see God and Jesus doing, you will also see the Holy Spirit doing. If you read the scriptures and read all the things that I spoke to you about earlier about the agency of the Spirit, you'll see Jesus doing all those things in the Gospels, and you'll see God doing all those things with his people as well. The Spirit doesn't come with a new game plan. He's already working the game plan of Jesus and the Father out. He's doing exactly the same things that they've been doing and are doing. The fire of God was God's idea, was Jesus' idea, was the Holy Spirit's idea. They're all the same, remember? They made us in their image to be like us. So they were already in on all of it right from the very beginning. We carry the very presence of God, the Holy Spirit, and that ought to encourage us and make us very excited, I think, at the potential of what lies within. The potential of what lies in for believers is not us. It's not you can do anything you set your mind to. It's not the strength lies within you. It's the strength lies in the power of God present within us by the person of the Holy Spirit. Then we can, out of Paul's words, I can do all things through Jesus who gives me strength. That's because of the presence of the Holy Spirit that he's left us as our helper, advocate, and counselor. That's the only thing that's going to save us and save this planet. We have it within us. We have the answer within us. I would suggest that would be something to get reasonably excited about this week, and to ask the Holy Spirit to activate or make us more aware of that. So I'm just going to invite our worship team just to lead us to finish with the very words that we that we're singing there. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. And as you sing the words, I just encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to awaken you to a greater understanding and thinking about what is it the Holy Spirit's here. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. The Holy Spirit's already here. So in that sense, we're saying, Holy Spirit, you're welcome to have permission here, maybe. Make us more aware of the presence of the Father that's at work within us. Show us those things, the deep things of God, and lead us. Allow this time as we worship together not just to be a time where we just worship, but a time where we allow the Holy Spirit to be ministering to you, to be speaking to you, to awaken you, to give you fresh visions of who He is and what He is doing in your life right now and what He wants to do.